Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Jimmy Jazz. Jimmy is a quarter video poker player living in Michigan and manages to make several trips a year to Las Vegas with positive EV, including airfare, car rental, room, and food. We'll be talking to Jimmy shortly, finding out how he does all this. While a lot of it will be specific to quarter video poker players, his information about air travel and car rental is useful to all of us. We received a letter addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com asking how to win at roulette. Munchkin saw fit to write a blog about this on his richardmunchkin.com site. Basically, Richard, how do you do it?
Well, you know, the first thing I said was if he was asking me for some kind of betting system, you know, where you bet one, then two, then four, or some such, you know, he's out of luck. You can't win at roulette doing that. But then I outlined three methods where you actually can beat the game of roulette. Two of them, we've had guests on the show talking about them. Previously, we had Mark Billings talking about bias roulette wheels, and he wrote a book called The Bias Wheel Handbook, which unfortunately is out of print. And we had Lawrence Scott on talking about how to visually clock roulette wheels. And then the third is by using a computer. We haven't had any guests on talking about that because computers are illegal in most states in the United States and some foreign countries as well. But anyway, that's basically I outlined the three ways you could beat the game of roulette. And maybe one of these days we should have some computer roulette people on, you know, to talk about that, even though it may not be legal in most places in the United States.
Well, maybe we can, although we will need to tell them where it is legal. All right.
Well, no, I don't think we need to tell people where it's legal. That would be giving up a little too much. But we could still explain roulette play, computer roulette play.
Okay. We're approximately halfway through the World Series of Poker here in Las Vegas. Something strange happened in event number 15, the $3,000 no-limit hold'em six-handed, eventually won by Belgium Davidi Katai for his third career bracelet. On what should have been the last day, according to the announcement, the match lasted too late, and they recently instituted a policy where they had a midnight hard limit, meaning that if the match still hadn't ended by then, the players got to go and get some sleep, and the tournament resumed the next day. The eventual runner-up, Gordon Vio, had been ahead when the hard limit break was instituted, and after some sleep, Katai was able to come back and win the bracelet. So far, nothing particularly unusual. Somebody has to win, somebody has to lose, and the extra sleep the players got could have cut either way. But what was unusual was that the match was shown on WSOP.com with a half-hour delay, including showing the hole cards. While Katai slept to get ready for the last day, his friends analyzed Vio's recent play and gave Katai up-to-the-minute information on the hand ranges Vio was playing in so far in the finals. Essentially, Katai's team beat Vio. While this is legal, it strikes me as against the spirit of what the World Series of Poker is all about. What's your take on this, Richard?
Well, first of all, I think that it's good they put in these hard limits. You know, it's ridiculous. People used to be playing, you know, there were matches that went 22 straight hours. And you know, I don't think that's about poker either, you know, when it just becomes an endurance contest. And even so, even now, even with the hard limits, you know, these are really taxing events. And you'll notice that the, you know, the winners are getting younger and younger, and I think a lot of that has to do with stamina. So anyway, I think the fact that they now take those breaks is good. You know, my question would be to Vaya, why didn't he have his team doing the same thing? I mean, it's become part of the game. This is going on at the final table for many years. You will see in the on ESPN when the players at the final table get up and they go over to the sideline to talk to their friends, they're often getting information about hands that were played, you know, 15 or 20 minutes ago that their friends are there keeping track of. So to me, yes, poker has changed. It's not the same game that it used to be. But it's almost like, you know, having a coach. You know, in any sport, you have coaches that, you know, talk to you on the sidelines, and it's just part of the game. So, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think people will learn that how important it is to have a team that's there working when you're sleeping.
Huh. Not everybody has teams. Okay. 2 years ago, in April 2012, there were some gamblers at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City who noticed that the order of the winning hands was identical from one shoe to the next in a baccarat game, like banker, banker, player, tie, banker, tie, player, player, etc. So they bet the max and kept doing so until the casino said enough. The casino lost $1.5 million, paid some immediately, withheld some, and then roughed up one or more of the players a little to find out what the conspiracy was. The court ruled the Golden Nugget had to pay the $1.5 million. The players decided they needed more because the casinos roughed them up. The Golden Nugget said they wouldn't appeal the $1.5 million ruling if the players dropped the countersuits. The players refused. Last week, according to cardplayer.com, a higher court said the Nugget didn't have to pay the $1.5 million at all. Not only do the players not get additional damages, they have to return the original $1.5 million. Personally, I'm stunned by this. The players noticed a pattern and exploited it, which seems to be in no way cheating to me. And it seems likely to me, at least, and I'm not an expert legally, that the players can win this on appeal, but they have to have the money to mount an appeal, or perhaps the lawyers will do it on spec. Richard, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I think it's a travesty. I mean, it's just absurd. But I don't think you have that right about them noticing a pattern, because if that's all they had done, you know, basically the players are, you know, betting on voodoo. My understanding is that the cards were not shuffled. And, you know, so the players noticed as the cards were coming out that there was a pattern in the cards not being shuffled and were able to reconstruct what the hands would be. But regardless, it still seems like it's the casino's responsibility to protect their game. If they were buying what were supposed to be pre-shuffled cards, and, you know, if the cards were not shuffled, it seems the casino should be suing the company that was supposed to shuffle them, not the players. So,
well, they were pre-shuffled, except the first card was a three of diamonds, and the second one was the king of hearts, and the third one was the queen of spades, and the fourth one was the queen of diamonds.
Well, but
was the same for every deck.
The shoe gets cut, right? They put a cut card in and cut the shoe, so I don't see how that would, you know, how would it be in the same order as the last shoe? I mean, unless the dealer happened to cut it in, or the player that cut happened to cut it in the identical location, which seems unlikely.
I don't know.
I mean, every article I've seen says that the cards were not shuffled. So,
right. They came out of... Anyway, they have to give the money back, which is a big shock. I'm sure a lot of it's been spent.
Well, they're going to appeal it, I'm sure. You know, the players will appeal it, and hopefully a judge with more sense will give a better ruling. Actually, this prompted us to... we were talking before the show. We're going to try to get Bob Nersessian on to get his take on on this. I'm sure he'll
quite
entertaining.
I'm guessing Bob will be bouncing off the ceiling, but we'll see. He's another thing we're probably going to talk to Bob Nersessian about. A horse player at a track in Omaha, Nebraska, won a race worth $63.50, and the cashier paid him more than $6,000. The player immediately left the track. Go figure. Apparently, they're considering trying him for felony theft. This was surprising to me. I thought if someone overpaid you and you did nothing to cause that person to make the mistake, you legally could keep the money. Although morally, many of us would give back the money in at least some circumstances. What do you make of this, Richard?
Well, yeah, the ethical issue, we've talked about this in the past on the show. I'd be much less likely to give the money back to a racetrack or a casino, you know, than I would to some other type of establishment. But, you know, it just kind of shows you, you know, that the horse racing industry has a very powerful lobby and, you know, powerful lobbies are able to write the laws, so it kind of doesn't surprise me, even though I think it's wrong. You know, I don't think the player should be charged with a felony, but you know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's the same kind of thing where the casino industry in Nevada was able to, you know, get messenger betting passed.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you have the power, you can get laws passed in your favor.
All right. Golden rule, he who has the gold make the rules.
Right.
A year ago, the Revel in Atlantic City had 100% loss rebate program. And there were some problems with it, but we predicted at the time that this could lead to bankruptcy. Revel now says they're actively looking for a buyer, and if they can't find one relatively soon, they're just going to cut their losses and close the doors. Comment, Richard?
Yeah, well, no surprise. I mean, I don't really have a comment other than it's not no big surprise.
All right. Let's talk to our guest. Jimmy Jazz is an engineer who lives and works near Detroit. He's very frugal, specializing in getting the most for his money in every part of his life, including the gambling part. Tonight, he's sharing ways he does this with respect to Las Vegas trips, usually taken with his wife, Haley Marie. Jimmy Jazz, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob.
First, let's talk about getting here. Quarter players don't usually put enough money into action so that a casino will reimburse them round trip from Detroit to Las Vegas for two people. Now, yet you find ways to get here essentially for free. How do you do this?
Well, there's a couple ways. The last 5 to 10 years, Harris and Laughlin has been a very good play for us. As you probably know, the Laughlin property is a smaller property, used to people who don't gamble quite as much. So the rule of thumb I was following was about maybe 15,000 coin in would get you on their list for a free charter flight for two from Detroit to Laughlin. So that, to me, was a pretty inexpensive way to get out there. Also, that property, for whatever reason, didn't adhere to the current Harrah's method of gambling 15,000 through and staying for 4 days, so they would divide your total play by your total number of hotel days. So you'd look like a $3,750 a day player, but Harrah's Laughlin still treated you as a $15,000 a day player, which was a nice little perk. Lately, they have been concentrating on getting gamblers from the three states around them in on the charters, and the charter offers have become fewer and fewer. So I'm not sure that play is dead, but it's harder for people who aren't in California or Nevada or Arizona.
But Harris Laughlin is about 90 miles from Las Vegas, but you would have to come and go on the charter, so would that leave you time to drive up to Vegas and do some stuff here or not?
Sure. We would concentrate our play in Laughlin in one day, and seeing how they didn't penalize you for doing that by dividing it by your four-day hotel stay, we would usually come in and you'd get in about, I don't know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock on the one day. We would probably play all day the next day. The following day, drive to Las Vegas, maybe spend the night, maybe not. Drive back, play again on a second day if we so desired, and then fly out the following morning. So it, you know, if you're in Laughlin for 4 days, you're probably going to run out of things to do. 2 days is about right for Laughlin. So it worked out pretty well. Now, what's interesting is even though our host in Laughlin told us they're concentrating on people in that three-state area, we've been getting free play offers from Harris Laughlin. My wife and I got $200 each for our last trip, and the mail yesterday showed about the same good through the end of October. So it's funny you would, on the one hand, not want to fly people around, and on the other hand, send them free play to try and get them out there. So like most things here, it's a little confusing.
So now next trip, you're going to fly into Vegas and take a day trip to Laughlin.
Correct.
All right. So how do you get to fly into Vegas for almost nothing?
Well, what we've been doing is the credit card frequent flyer game. Now, as a caveat, you need a pretty good credit score to do this. I would strongly recommend that you not have a major purchase like a house or a refinance coming on, and also not be the type of person where a credit card can lead to financial problems. So given those three conditions, there are a ton of offers, and they just keep on getting better and better. The easiest one that I currently know of, U.S. Airways, I think it's through Barclays Bank, has a credit card, which I believe is no annual fee the first year. You have to spend a whole dollar, and they will send you 40,000 frequent flyer miles on U.S. Air. Also, that credit card gets you a 5,000-mile discount when you use the miles, and also gets you your first bag checked free. So just
your first bag of checks, your first what?
Your first.
I'm sorry. Your first bag on the airline.
Yeah, because most places are charging now.
Okay.
Now, is U.S. Air? Can you use their miles on some other airlines as well? Are they affiliated with United or something?
American.
They're merging with American.
Okay.
So they'll become one shortly. This offer will probably go away in the not too distant future because of the merger, but it's as of today, it's still available. That's just one example.
I'm actually not used to how many frequent flyer miles would it take to do round trip from Vegas to Detroit?
If you fly the base coach, it'd be a 25,000, and then they would discount you 5,000. So 20,000 miles. Could get you from Detroit to Las Vegas.
And wow, so that credit card can get you 2 round-trip tickets.
Right.
Just for signing up. Wow.
Right. Now, it goes by availability, so sometimes the, you know, 12,500 each way fare isn't available, and you have to bump up to the 17,500 or the 20,000. So it's based on availability and a few other things, but I'm going to fly to North Carolina in September, and it's going to cost me 20,000 U.S. Air frequent flyer miles.
Huh.
It's around
I had heard there's a good deal on the, is it the Chase Sapphire card? But you kind of have to use the miles pretty quickly because I think the card is $90 a year. It's waived for the first year. So you kind of have to get the card. You have to spend like $3,000 or something, and then you get all these miles. But but then you have to use them before the year is up because you want to cancel the card before you have to pay for it.
Well, that's all true, but it's actually a whole lot better than that. So everything you said is true. Chase is also will give you another 5,000 miles if you sign up another person on the account. I typically sign my cat up, so he's she's a credit card holding member. That gets you another 5,000 miles. And Chase is currently running a referral program where everybody I refer who actually signs up, I'll get another 5,000 miles, which I have sent out to about 15 people and will happily give them $25 if they sign up, basically splitting the bonus. Now, where it gets better with Chase Sapphire is you can use those points on their travel site, which is very similar to Travelocity, and they give you a 20% discount on the pointage. So if a flight costs $300, you can get it for 24,000 points. Also, you can take those points and turn them into actual money. If you sign up, meet your spending requirement, and then tell Chase, please send me a check for $400, they will do so.
Huh.
So it's immediately convertible to cash. Also, what Chase will do is let you transfer miles from their account to, say, Southwest or American or U.S. Air. So if you are, you know, 10,000 miles short, or let's say 5,000 miles short on a U.S. Air flight, instead of buying them from the airline at 5 cents a piece, you transfer them from your Chase card at 1 cent a piece. So that's a nice little perk as well. It's also got some other features as a credit card that I particularly like, and even though I signed up for them probably 4 years ago, I still have that card and have been paying the annual fee the last couple of years because I think it's that good.
Wow. Isn't the annual fee like $90?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. That gets you a 7% bonus on top of the money you spend each year. There's no foreign transaction fees. There's some other perks with it as well. I still have a balance in the account, and I think the 20% bonus on travel booked through them is worthwhile. You know, I reconsider every year I have the card, but I've done it the last couple of years. With the stack of cards I've got now, I might reconsider that. But overall, it's a very good card, and their credit protection is outstanding. If you know you buy a little bit unusual in your buying pattern, they'll call you up and say what's going on. And I think it's a very, very good, very well-run card.
Okay. Now, any other cards we should know about?
The best play, and this one goes into my too good to be true and I can't believe they're doing it category. Through Chase again, if you get a card, the Southwest card, there's a Premier card and a Plus card. And one's a $99 annual fee and one's a $69 annual fee. Those cards, you spend $2,000 in 3 months, and they will give you $50,000 of the Southwest Rapid Reward points. Now, I figured the Rapid Reward points are worth about 1.7, 1.8 cents based on what their airfare costs and what you can get out of it. So just doing one of those cards gets you $750, $800 in airfare. No, $850 or $900. It's a lot. But it gets better. So you get both cards, make the spending requirements, and you've now got 100,000 rep reward points, plus you've got 4,000 from the money you've spent to meet your spending limits. So you've got 104,000 rapid reward points in your account. Now, if you've also got your Chase Sapphire card, transfer 6,000 points from Chase to Southwest. You've now got 110,000 points in your Rapid Rewards account, and that's the magic number for their companion fare. And what they'll do with that companion fare is when you hit that $110,000 point milestone, they will give you a card that is good for your companion to fly any flight you fly for free for the rest of the current year and all of the next year.
Wow.
So right now, my wife and I will fly on Southwest basically free till the end of 2015.
And then you divorce. No reason to keep her.
Then she does it, and I'm the companion.
Uh-huh. Now,
no, I don't know how they can afford to do that, but they've been doing it for quite a while.
Okay. Now, some of our listeners have not been taking notes. Is there a website or something that they could get much of this information on as to how to take advantage of frequent flyer stuff?
Yes, there's a great website called Million Mile Secrets. And the gentleman who runs that site, if you click on one of the links and get a credit card through the site, he gets a small commission. But there is just a ton of information there. He lists 20 different credit card offers. Well worth taking a look at.
All right. Let's get down to Quarter Video Poker Place. That's why you come here. Now, one of your main squeezes here is the D.
Correct.
Used to be Fitzgerald's. Now, correct. What do you do there, and why is that so good?
Well, I think the D is marketing heavily to the Detroit area, which is where the name came from and where the owner came from. So I don't know if my offers tend to be a little bit better than offers from other parts of the country. But for basically about, 7,000, 8,000 coin in, we've been getting $50 in free play, $50 in match plays, 3 nights at the hotel, and maybe $20 in food, $15 in food, something like that. And those offers will be good in 3-month blocks. So when Haley Marie and I go to Las Vegas, we'll try and time it so we hit the end of 1 month and the beginning of the other month. So we basically have what I just said times 4, which makes it a pretty substantial chunk of money. I've heard rumors that a higher level of play, maybe 12,000 coin in, gets you to the next level, which is limited room, food, beverage, and transportation to and from the airport. I have not confirmed that works yet. So, and the other problem is, as you probably know, at quarter single line, it's really tough to get 12,000 a day through. It becomes an endurance test.
Do they not have any multiple line games?
Nothing very good that I've found. I think 7-5 bonus is the best I've found. They've got some 100% games, but they're like painfully slow and coin droppers, and it's just not worth the trouble.
What about you and Haley Marie both playing on your card on Tuesday, and you and her both playing on your card on Wednesday?
I figure that's a given.
Sorry, I apologize. All right.
And if you really want to crank out with a positive EV, they do have the lone loose deuce machine, the 1710 loose deuce for nickels.
Oh, that's going to take you a while to get.
But now, I mean, do they not have any dollar machines, or you don't want the massive swings of a $1 game?
7-5 bonus poker, I think, is the best I saw.
Huh.
So to me, and for Richard, that's a little bit better than 92%, 98%, excuse me.
Yeah. So you're giving up 2%, and you're going to run 3,000 through an hour. I'm not going to pay them $60 an hour to play video poker.
All right.
The game's there. It's a 8-5 bonus poker single line at the bar upstairs with a 3-way progressive. And the quads seem to get pretty high, so I think there's a fair amount of short coin play going on.
So would that be a close? Now, 8-5 bonus starts out at 99.2 almost. Are the progressives enough to make it up to 100% in your mind?
Yep, the quads are 0.5%, the straight flush and royal flush is 0.25%.
Uh-huh.
Plus, in the advisor and also in the American Casino Guide, is a nice little coupon that gives you basically 1% on your first 10,000 coin in the form of free play. So that's a nice little bonus on top of that.
So presumably, but you need to do that all at once before you cash it, so that...
You tell them, I'm going to use this coupon, you have 24 hours, you come back, you tell them you're done, and then they put the free play on your card.
Uh-huh. And so that trip, instead of playing 7,000, you play 10,000.
Well, yes.
All right, that's a given. All right, now, so you've come to the D, and you've played 2 days. And you're going to play 2 days in a few days. Where else do you do on the same trip?
We usually go to the Four Queens.
That's all the way next door.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Do you drive?
No, but I really like parking at the Golden Gate Valet parking. I think that's a nice little trick because it's rarely full, and you rarely wait more than about 38 seconds to get your car back. So we'll park there, sometimes valet, and then walk over if the other ones are full or there's a big crowd.
If you got luggage, Golden Gate isn't next door. I mean, it's
no. This is when we're running around.
Actually, I appreciate that tip because I used to use the Las Vegas Club Valet, and then that's closed, and then I was using the Golden Nugget Valet, but that's kind of, you have to go get it validated, and I don't know. So I appreciate that. I will try the Golden Gate Valet next time I go down there.
And I think a $2 tip is like 3 times the going rate there, so you look like a big shooter.
Oh, so tipping 67 cents is about right.
For that place, I think so.
All right.
Although they have cleaned it up a lot, so I haven't been in there in a while.
Okay, so you're at the Four Queens, so what do you play there?
Well, they got the 10-7 Progressives.
This is that's quarter 10-7.
Correct.
So 10-7 is slightly over 100%. And the Progressive, which isn't very fast there, so it's, 100.3, 100.4, depending on how high the Progressive is.
Right.
And then there's a slot club. All right.
So about 6,000 coin in was getting us $40 in free play rooms if you want them, and, I don't know, maybe $20 at Magnolia for food.
Okay.
If you step it up to about 12K, you get about 75 in free play. You used to get dinner for two with $150 max at Hugo's, which is a very nice comp. And they book you in their suite, too, which is basically a bigger room. So, but the increased free play and dinner at Hugo's is always very nice. Now, a host there a while ago told me that if you sift them one out of three trips, you're okay. So if you happen to be in town, you're not going to play a lot, you pick up your free play and leave. If you do that only once out of three trips, they kind of ignore it. I'm not sure if that's still true or not.
So under that case, you could pick up your wife's free play even if she didn't come to town.
Once again, a given.
Once again, a given. All right. What other casinos?
Orleans, not too much play, seems to get you on their free room offers. A little bit of free play and a little bit of food. That's another place we play at. We used to play a lot of Casino Royale, but they've taken away their games, taken away their coupon sheet, and basically not given us any reason to play there anymore. So that was the best free room play. About 2,000 coin in got you two nights.
Wow,
on the
that's
trip.
Really low.
Oh yeah, and the rooms were they were functional and they worked, but now it's a Best Western and the owner dumped $40 million into their renovation and they're trying to get it back in the games and cutting out the perks, which is what built up their clientele in the first place. But that's another story.
All right, now. So let's get away from the gambling and go to rent-a-cars, which would be of use to many more of our listeners than would be a discussion of quarter video poker. So you rent a car when you come here.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to do that?
Well, what I would usually do is, let's say it's now mid-June and I'm going to go in September. I would look online and basically just grab a vehicle to have something as a backup plan. And then I would periodically check and periodically rebook. And, it's a little bit of work, but it yields pretty good results. I actually posted one on VP Free for the last trip. We started at $140 for a compact car for 5 days and ended up with a midsize car for 5 days at $52. Tax and fees and everything.
Uh-huh.
So I thought the tax was more than that for 5 days.
The tax was like $17 or $18, so the actual rental car was like $33.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
so like $6 a day or $7 a day.
Yeah.
Now, nobody sees these. How you go to the airport and you don't see any offers for $7 a day. How do you find them?
Well, I get a couple newsletters and a couple, email mailers. But basically, if you show up at the airport, they're in the driver's seat, so to speak, and you're going to pay whatever they tell you because your options are to walk someplace or take a cab someplace. If I've got an offer in hand, I'm in the driver's seat, and I can say, well, I've got this offer. If you can do something better, I'll go with your company. If not, I won't. But most of the work I do is online. There's a bunch of sites, carrentals.com, Travelocity, of course, Expedia. But the best one I just found is a site called Autoslash.
That's AutoSlash?
Correct.
.com, okay.
Now, they're doing what was my idea from about 10 years ago, is why can't they take your information and let them shop around and find you the best rate? And lo and behold, 10 years later, a company's actually doing that. So with all my rebookings this last trip, 4 days or 5 days before my trip, AutoSlash sent me an email and says, hey, we've got this deal at a company, and it's less than you're paying. So I booked it, and I booked it through their website, so they get a few bucks. And then when I went to the airport and picked up the vehicle, it was actually $4 less than they had quoted me. So I think AutoSlash found yet another rate and saved me a few more dollars without me actually having to do anything. To me, this is probably the best money saver I've heard of in a long, long time. They'll basically do all the work for you. You can even tell them that, I went on Travelocity and I got a car. Here's my information. Let me know when you get me a better rate, and they'll email you when they get you a better rate.
Wow, that's a great site.
Yeah, it is a great site. Yeah, they just started it up. Or it's the first time I've seen them, let me put it that way. So I would definitely check that one out.
I have sent them an email suggesting they should be an advertiser on this radio show. And so far, I've not been able to talk to them. But I'm still working. I would think our listeners would be a good deal for our listeners.
Well, they'll probably call me, Bob, and ask for a better rate.
All right.
I sent them an email as well, and they said they're not interested in any advertising sponsorship at this point.
All right.
So.
I was a quarter player 20 years ago. I abused casino match play coupons. Now, are they still out there, and which ones do you find useful?
They're still out there, but I think partly because of certain abusers, they're nowhere near as lucrative as they used to be.
Damn.
There used to be the old days. I mean, there was a casino perks book, which you bought for like $12 that would give you 12 $25 match plays. Those
yes.
are gone. $25 match plays in the advisor were not frequent, but they were there. They used to run 3-to-1 blackjack coupons. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. Right now, in the advisor, there's several of the $10 match plays, which, if you happen to be around, if they're worth doing. The $5 match plays is if I happen to have it in my pocket and I'm in the casino, I'll use it. I mean, it's for the $2.40, it's not worth much effort to cash those in. Now, the one I probably use the most is in the American Casino Guide. There's a $10 buy-in at poker at the Golden Nugget. So I give them $50, and they give me $60 in chips. That's my current favorite coupon out of the American Casino Guide to use. There's various free slot offers in both books. You get $5 or $10 at the Plaza or the Las Vegas Club, or I think Orleans has one. But the coupon runs that I used to do, I don't do anymore because they're not as lucrative. And I'll typically hold off doing a coupon run and use that when I'm, broke from a bad video poker trip and want to do something that's not video poker and has a pretty high expected value, even though it's a low dollar value. So they're not anywhere near what they used to be, but they're still worth doing at least a little bit.
All right.
Do you play other places besides Vegas? And are you able to find these kind of deals in other places?
Yeah, I play. I mean, I've been to casinos in probably, I don't know, 10 states. Las Vegas has the best offers overall. The only, probably the best offer outside of Las Vegas is with Harrah's in New Orleans, where they will give you one-to-one airfare reimbursement on your Harrah's points. Now, I don't know if you have to be a Diamond member for that perk or not. They don't really advertise it, but I've never had it turned down. So that's a nice perk.
Wait, so explain that. You fly into New Orleans and say your ticket is $500. They give you what?
If you say, please take out 50,000 of my reward credits, they'll give you $500 in your hand.
Oh.
So it's basically one-to-one on reward credits, usable to pay for airfare and transportation from the airport.
Usually, you would, depending on your status, it would be quite a bit. You would get a lesser rate. The one-for-one is only usually good at Harrah's properties if you spend it on hotel rooms or meals or show tickets, which are high markup things. But for outside, it's usually you pay quite a bit more to use the points.
Right, and this is Harrah's New Orleans only that does the airfare that I know of. It's the only Harrah's property I know that does the airfare reimbursement one-to-one with reward credits.
All right. Now, you're an engineer.
Yes.
You and your wife are extremely frugal.
Yes.
I'm assuming you could afford to play for considerably more than quarters.
Yes.
So why is it that you you go through a lot of work and you come here and you get a free vacation and you average going home with $50 a day profit, which is a whole lot better than most of the country can do.
99.9% of the people who come to Vegas, yeah.
But it's small change. So why do you remain at quarters?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. First of all, on the amount I make going to Las Vegas, if that were the only reason, I probably wouldn't do it. But I have friends all over the country, and people like to go to Las Vegas, and there's people that's the only place I ever see them. So it's a cheap way to get together with my friends from around the country as well. That's a big part of the attraction.
So you and Haley Marie will both get rooms, and you put your friends in one of them.
Correct.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'll share the comps. And a lot of times if I put a friend up at a nice hotel for 4 days, he'll generously pick up the what's left of the rental car. So, and usually the tips on the meals. So it saves me a few bucks. It saves them a bunch of bucks. And it works out pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds – yeah, you know what? I get that. I mean, not everybody is into – advantage play to make a living, you know. So what you're doing makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. And as far as, you know, the actual play level, yeah, I could play dollars or $2 if I wanted to. First reason I don't is my wife, Haley Marie, is much, much less risk tolerant than I am. And if we went for a weekend and had a bad run and came home $10,000 lighter, it would be a very unpleasant rest of the month. So to me, it's just not worth it on that level.
Uh-huh.
Also, you know, I don't scout out those plays as much, so there might be better stuff at the higher levels than I think. But I'm not sure that I would get four times the bang for my dollar for four times the risk. Some of the quarter plays are pretty good, and, you know, if you get pounded in a weekend, you know, you lose $1,000 or $1,200. I mean, it's not the end of the world. Tax issues are a concern. I don't file as a pro, so state taxes start to bite into stuff.
So in Michigan, W-2Gs are taxable?
Correct, and there is no way to offset it.
Oh, wow, that's bad.
That's most states. You guys don't know how good you have it there.
That's
true. I would say 90% of the states in the U.S. Tax gambling winnings are fully taxable at the state level, and losses are not deductible at the state level.
Oh, wow. I thought that was only a couple of states that were like that. I didn't realize it.
No, there's only a couple that aren't.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
All right.
So we're going to...
Go ahead. Sorry.
We're going to do a few commercials now, and then we're going to come back and ask you about myvegas.com, which is, I actually have some questions about that. Okay.
Sure.
The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. In June, they're having hot fun giveaways. Sundays through Wednesdays, you earn 800 video poker points or 400 slot points, and you earn the gift of the week. For next week, it is an American flag throw. You keep your points. Thursdays, you may earn free buffets. Earn 300 points, and you get a lunch buffet. Earn 600 points, and you get a dinner buffet. And you can, depending on when you earn it, that 600 points can get you both. You don't have to cash them the same day, but you have to spend them before the end of the month, Monday through Thursday. At the Palms, they have 7 p.m. drawings each Friday in June. You need to swipe your card before 6:45, but you do not need to be there for the drawing so long as you pick up your prize prior to midnight. Each week, $10,000 is given away to 5 winners. The good news is you don't have to be there. The bad news is that if somebody doesn't show up, the prize is forfeited and it doesn't go to somebody else. You earn 5 times entries Fridays and Saturdays, 8 to midnight, 2 times entries Sundays and Tuesdays. Play for points, PFP, Monday through Friday for last 2 weeks of the month. It's Chevron gas cards and car washes and lubes from Terrible Herps. The rate for earning these prizes is 0.25% for video poker players and 2% for slot players, and you keep the points. They have a special promotion where you show a premium card from another casino, and if that card is a higher level than what you have at the Palms, they will upgrade you to it at the Palms and give you free buffets and some money. If you already have the highest card at the Palms, then you don't get anything additional. So it only works as if you do not have a premium card at the Palms and you do have one somewhere else. Then you bring it in, and you can get up to 2 free buffets and $50 if you have such maybe a 7-stars card or the equivalent at several other casinos. VideoPoker.com remains the best place to practice a wide variety of games, including Quick Quads, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy Poker, Hyper Bonus, many others. Often these games are the best returning games in a casino, and you need practice to know how to play them. The weekly contests for this week are 25 Play with Super Times Pay, Extra Draw Frenzy, and Big Times Draw Poker. Extra Draw Frenzy is a 6-coin per line game where the bonus feature is activated each time you're dealt 3 of a kind. When this happens, you get some number of extra hands, all starting from the specific trips that you drew. How many extra hands depends on which trips and which games. For example, in Jacks or Better, you get a lot of extra hands because each quad only returns 125 coins. In Triple Double Bonus, if you start with 3 aces, you don't get so many extras because converting it either pays 800 or 4,000. The bonus feature adds a little to the return of the game and requires no change in strategy. So if you can find the same pay schedule on this game as you can find in the rest of the casino, this is the better choice. You'll find them on All Star Poker Games or some machine. There's a variety, Star Poker, variety of machines where they have a large number of different games. All right. Let's go back to Jimmy Jazz. We briefly hinted at MyVegas.com. What is that?
Actually, it's MyVegas. I think it's MyVegas Slots, and it's a Facebook game. So when you sign into Facebook, it should appear on the left-hand side in the menu selection. And, you know, like Candy Crush and all their other little games, it's an online game. And basically you're playing with funny money, and you can play their slots or their blackjack. And as you do well, you accumulate points, and they have little daily bonuses, and they have a little map that you build up, and as you collect at the different casinos, you earn points. So the good thing is that those points are convertible to comps at the MGM properties. And the more you earn, the more you can use. Our last trip in May, we went to go see Love at the Mirage. We had the Mirage Buffet for lunch and went to the Secret Garden, all on My Vegas slot comps. So it didn't cost us a nickel. Now, the Love tickets that were printed out had a value of $149 each. The Mirage Buffet, I think, was either $21 or $24.95. And the Secret Garden was $15 a person. So that
but
was
you
all.
Must have been putting in an awful lot of play to get that many points.
You know, it's funny. My wife used to do the, whatever, the Farmville or Candy Crush or whatever that stuff is. So, I mean, she'll play for 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. And you can, like, network with friends, and they send you chips, and you send them chips. And I didn't track the actual amount of time she played. But if it's more than 15, 20 minutes a day average, I'd be very surprised. And even after spending all that on the last trip and probably 250 in comps the trip before, our bank's got about $1,100 in comps in it. So I think it's a worthwhile investment time-wise. Also on the slot,
well, people who started playing that at the beginning were getting much, much higher returns
very true.
Than what it is now. You know, because I was hearing, you know, more than a year ago, I was hearing great stories about what you could get. But, you know, I investigated it. It seemed seemed very slow to accumulate.
Yeah, I've been. We have less than 1 minute to go. I started playing about 2 weeks ago when I had a preliminary conversation with Jimmy Jazz for the show, and they allow you to buy more slot entry, and I'm not interested in paying for this.
Right.
And in 2 weeks, I haven't earned very much. So they give me some free stuff a day, and if I get a car quote on insurance, they'll give me some more money to play with. But I don't have very much.
There's some tricks. You have to network with the people there. It's a little bit of work, but it's not that much work to me for what you get.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy Jazz. Thank you, Richard Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.